Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
Hello and welcome to Falkirk Daft as we once more go again, as all managers says, and what could be a pivotal season in this club's history. It really is do or die. I am your host, John McInally, and as ever, I'm joined by the ginger god of pod himself, the one-man band in the main stand. It's Ross Wayne. How are you?
Good evening, sir. You all right?
Aye, not bad, mate. Cycling came, the UCI World Cycling Champions whizzed through Falkirk today. Did you go out and see it?
I did. I had a walk along. Obviously, it was going up Graham's Road, so which is just a few minutes walk for the house. So I had a walk along. It was, do you know, it wasn't quite as what I expected. I had like some big Tour de France thing in my head, and then I realised they're in Scotland. It's never going to look like that, is it? So, but it was cool. I tell you one thing. Obviously, this was before the protesters interrupted their thing, which I can only assume is because of the amount of vehicles that were being used, because there was obviously, I don't know, what, 50 cyclists or something. There must have been about 100 support vehicles for cyclists, say. So I'm not surprised if that's why they were protesting. I don't agree with it personally, but I can understand.
Here's Ross getting cancelled already. Don't agree with the protesters. Down with oil, up with oil, all
no,
that.
No, but listen, see, these are like these guys concreting themselves to the road. I don't get it. Did you see, and I know we're digressing off Falkirk obviously, but did you see the last time the guy did it at Grangemouth? He moaned to the papers because he had a piano exam the next day. Right, firstly, what a Tory wanker you with your piano exams, right? Secondly, why would you glue or concrete your hands to the road the day before you know you've got a piano exam?
That's a very valid point. I tell you what, I know the reason, though, that they did the route they did through Falkirk, because I bet you what, they would have been at some pace through Cairnshore and Bainsford. So up the pace, boys, halfway through the course. We're going through Cairnshore. Sorry, we're offending everyone at the...
Listen,
apologies to the residents of Cairnshore and Bainsford.
Listen, I'm technically Bainsford anyway. I know the police sirens weren't for the event. It was just a normal Sunday.
Stop it. I mean, the fact that you saw the bluebell on the telly was just phenomenal. I was just like,
I was standing just along from the bluebell.
Oh, yeah.
That's where I was standing. Yeah, because I got a message off.
The patrons of the bluebell come out to support the.
I'm sure they did. I couldn't see that. I noticed the creamery emptied to watch as well. So, but no, I was standing just along from that because I got a message off. Drew, one of the guys who listens to the podcast as well, he said, "Oh, Roscoe, you've just been shown up in Smudger, Stevie Beveridge's Snapchat story." Because that must have been the first time the Bluebell's been on TV.
Yeah, he'd done the last probably as well. Brilliant. Well, welcome to Falkirk Daft. We've managed to probably lose half our audience in that opening segment, but there we go. We've got to say thanks very much to our sponsors this season, Haldane Construction. If you've not heard them, they're a Falkirk-based company. They've put a lot of support into the club over the last couple of seasons. You'll see their name up at the Russell Pat Lappy Legends stand in the north but there. They've been delivering construction and building projects throughout the Central Belt for two decades now. Now, I spoke to Peter, who's the chairman of Haldane, and he was telling me, he laughed last week when he listened to the podcast, I talked about swimming pools, because they do commercial swimming pools and care homes and stuff, and he said, no, it wasn't actually a swimming pool in the Falkirk area, as I joked. It was, I think it was for a community swimming pool, so no one, as far as we know, has a swimming pool in Falkirk. No one's seen that. There's a car around, honestly, there's a car that sits around the corner from me, and it's like, commercial. It's like swimming pool installation. Like, right. I was like, that's a really niche market in Scotland.
Anyway, you think so. You would think so.
We don't know if anybody
I think
has.
The goal has to be for you to get a swimming pool sorted at your bath for this season.
Yeah, well, absolutely. So listen, whatever, if you want a swimming pool, I'm sure Peter and the guys at Haldane Construction can sort that out with you for you. So whatever the size nature of your project, you can be sure they're going to hold themselves to the highest professional quality and ethical construction standards. They've won loads and loads of awards as well, including a Federation of Master Builders Award. There you go. So yeah, quality and loyalty is the heart of their business. If you want to get in touch with Haldane Construction, if you think about getting an extension on your house, something like that, these are the boys to talk to, haldaneconstruction.co.uk. You'll get them on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn and Facebook, or you can pop Peter and the team there an email, info@haldaneconstruction.co.uk. Captain's Armband, let's talk about that. Last week, you know, we obviously are sponsoring Falkirk Daft Captain's Armband. There was a wee bit of mix-up last week when Col went, because Stephen McGinty went off, Col went down the tunnel, but this week, as you'll see in my background, if you're watching the YouTube version, big Col strode over at the south stand at the end and gave the armband to that young man there.
How happy does he look? I think that's brilliant, John. I know I said this on social media last night as well, but that's exactly why we said we wanted them to give away the armband at the end of the game, because look at that wee lad's face. That's absolutely brilliant.
I know. Brett the Hitman Hart, eat your heart out. I'm still going to try and get this reference over. So yeah, that's Col Donaldson there. And he played, well, we'll get into the game in a minute, but he played very well with the armband on yesterday.
I did very well yesterday.
There's a wee message about the Ultras Brigade, Ross. I know you're obviously a wannabe Ultra, so you can tell us all about this.
No. I caught up with Kieran and a couple of the guys when we were in Brockville Bar behind the goals yesterday, and he reminded me that there's only a day. So actually, by the time this goes out, it may well be that the deadline for ordering their merchandise is finished, because I think it's by midnight on Monday, the 7th of August, which is probably when this is going to be airing. But so for the guys who are trying to raise money, and to, for displays and stuff, and part of the thing is obviously selling merchandise. So they've got tees, t-shirts, scarves, and stickers that they're shifting. And so midnight, I think it is on this Monday, the 7th of August, is the deadline for the pre-order. So get your orders in. We've shared the link on our socials, and hopefully loads of money's raised so that they can start to do displays at games as well as what they're already doing.
I am amazed that you have not turned up with your silk scarf yet at the game, Ross.
Well, I've not got one yet. I've ordered
have
one.
Have you ordered one? Of course you have. Brilliant.
I think we should get you one too. Put our money where our mouth is. Support the boys. They're doing it. They certainly made a difference yesterday again. I thought it was
absolutely. Again, you really noticed the up in the atmosphere. I mean, obviously, we needed it after that first half. But it was. You can definitely hear it. And like I say, I'm delighted that the drum is not used all the time. It's just used now and again. No. Yeah, listen, they're doing a cracking job of adding a bit of atmosphere to the game. And we'll start the Ultras in the main stand now as well. Ross, you can lead the charge.
There we go. That's it. We'll need a funky name for behind the dugout or something like that, but we'll get one.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out as well to John Harding, who couldn't make the game yesterday because he was in Lanzarote. However, he climbed to the top of Mount Rosia, or Rocca, is it Rocca, today, and he took a picture from the summit with him and his new Falkirk strip. And we've got some Aussie listeners as well, is that right, Ross?
Yeah, we've had a few messages, actually, about far-flung Bairns again, so... As we talked about last year, it was amazing to hear and see how many people actually watch and listen to this podcast from outside the UK. So, yeah, we've had a message for a big shout out to Greg Hayworth and the other Aussie Bairns who continue to watch and listen every week. So, big shout out to all the guys over in Australia.
Fantastic. I'm just having a look at our analytics in the back end of the podcast to see where people are listening. So maybe people were listening on holiday last week, because we've got 9 French, 8 Aussies, there you go. There's 7 in the States. We know a couple of those boys, Jamie over there in Texas. There's a couple of guys in New York as well, I think.
Austin and stuff as well.
Yeah, Portugal, Spain, Germany, Turkey. And we've got a listener in Indonesia, Greece, Norway, Japan... Holland.
Oh, yes, there is. Tokyo Bairn, we've had these messages.
Yeah. New Zealand, Switzerland, Canada, and Singapore. So there you go. We're all over the world this podcast. There you are. Listen, let's get into the match then. Without further ado, it was Falkirk 3, Annan Athletic 0. We don't have a guest pundit this week, but remember, if you do want to be a guest pundit on the show, it's dead easy. Please just drop us a DM. Falkirk Daft Pod. I don't know, it's not there. You can just email Ross or John at falkirkdaft.co.uk. But please do that. You can be on next week. But unfortunately, no one this week. You'll just have to do with me and Ross's opinion. So Falkirk 3, Annan Athletic 0 goes from Kiever, Morrison and Nesbitt. Two changes after last week. Oliver McGinn, John McGlynn hinted that it was two key players that were out. But with them dropping out, it meant Calvin Miller came into the side and Big Hendo came into the side. And to be honest with you, we looked a bit better, certainly in that second half for it, I would say. It was a lot faster going through the midfield.
Yeah, do you know, I joked on, I can't remember if it was on Twitter or Pine Bovril or something like that on Friday, that hopefully the two key players missing was Oliver and McGinn, because obviously those are two key players to John McGlynn, and I'm not saying they're bad players, we're not going to go down that route, right? But I think we all, when we saw the team on Saturday, we were all quite relieved that it wasn't an Aggie man, it wasn't a McKeever, it wasn't Morrison, it wasn't Spencer. Do you know what I mean? The guys who actually drive us forward, get the goal, get the goals, get us moving. So, yeah, I think the two dropping out, in my opinion, was a big help. Granted, well, I know we're going to get into it, but there was that second part of the first half. Wasn't it too great? But we started off really well, and obviously second half, there was only one team winning that football game.
Yeah, I loved Big Tam Lang coming out with the Terry Butcher-style headgear as well. Big, loved that. I love a bit of that, you know, like around, looking like Terry Butcher from the 80s, man. Brilliant. Loved it. Loved it all of it. But, I mean, like you say, that first half started off well possession wise, we were all over it, but you could see as soon as we started off, Annan had that those four banks of four one sitting, four and then just the one up top, and they just sat like that, defended the halfway line, and you know, we found it really hard. We had a lot of possession, certainly Cole Donaldson as well had a lot of the ball, and he had a lot of space to run into as well. You noticed that a lot. Played really well with the captain's armband on as well.
I thought he was great yesterday, actually. A far improved performance, because he's obviously had a few shaky games through the League Cup, and as we said last week, maybe he was still having a bit of a hangover from the last few games of last season. But far improved yesterday. Took responsibility, drove the defence up with Park as well. And you're right about Annan. With the greatest respect, I can understand it. They allegedly didn't have a fit forward player either, so I can understand them coming to try and frustrate us, trying to sit in. And as I think John McGlynn said to, I think I saw it in the Falkirk Herald last night or this morning, they're not going to be the only team to come and do that at the Falkirk Stadium this year, so we're going to have to get used to it. I thought by and large the fans stuck with the game plan, which was really, let's just try and break them down. There was a few boos at halftime, wasn't there, which I didn't agree with either, but I can understand the frustrations at times, especially in that first half when we were making a bit hard work of it. But I think that's not going to be the only time that's going to happen this season.
Yeah, I was actually delighted. I mean, two strikers that kind of... I watched the playoff game and I'm playing, and Tommy Goss, who plays for them, and that guy Aidan Smith, none of them were playing yesterday, obviously, because of, what you say, the injuries. But I was delighted not to see them, because I thought Tommy Goss looked a bit of a handful when I saw him playing against playoff games. I completely forgot as well. Willie Gibson's obviously was Queen of the South manager and went and continued his playing career with Annan, but I completely forgot until you said that he played under Presley.
He did, yeah. It was short-lived. Did he not leave Falkirk under a bit of a cloud? Because, like, I've got it in my head, and I could be wrong, so hopefully somebody gets in touch and corrects me, maybe. But I think he was subbed off in a game, right? And instead of just taking his seat on the bench, I think he just got in his car and left the stadium. And I don't think he played for Falkirk again, quite rightly, after that. And I could be wrong. I've maybe dreamt that. Hopefully not, because that's a weird dream to have. But I'm sure that happened. But yeah, I was actually quite surprised he didn't get a wee bit of stick yesterday from the Bairns faithful. But otherwise, I don't think there was another... Was there any other Bairns connection yesterday?
Colin McManaman, assistant manager.
Oh, of course. I actually noticed his name as a sub as well, so he must be still kicking.
He must be really strong. If Colin can he be a, surely not. Colin must be a fair age now. They must.
John, honestly, I am sure I saw his name on the team sheet somewhere. Unless there's another Colin McManaman.
We were talking about it. I think it was Yogi labelled him the goal machine, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He got mad. Looking at his record for Falkirk, actually, he was 1-2 for us, like Colin McManaman.
Right.
But he's 42, Ross. There's no way. He's
honestly, John, let me really? Check. I am pretty certain I saw the name Colin McManaman on the team sheet. Now, granted, it could be his son or something like that, but let's have a quick look while we're talking about it.
Certainly not listed on the... the squad list. So unless they've been that desperate,
right, where have us? Honestly, I swear to God, I've seen this, and I can't be making this up. No, I'm right. So I don't know if you can see this. It might not be him, right? You're not going to see it. I'll screenshot it and send you. Number 20, Colin McManaman.
I wonder if he registered then. I wonder if he registered.
It's 42,
wow.
Did you say?
42 years old.
That's the same age as us.
I know. As if he came off the bench, yes, that would have been amazing. But yeah, first half, a lot of possession, not much. I mean, again, we were falling into that trap that we did. Certainly, I thought Peterhead as well. And like last season, you can remember seeing first halves like that. But when it was like lots of possession, not a terrible, a lot of big chances, but we got away with one. Certainly, remember when Annan player went through, we certainly got away with one. And then McKeever, again, should have been scoring. He tried to go around the goalkeeper in, when really it should have just been a first time hit, and he definitely would have scored, but he kind of dawdled a wee bit.
Too far out for McKeever. That's too far out.
I know, absolutely. I thought we got away with a red card as well, if I'm honest with you. There was a challenge.
Calvin Miller.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Only got a yellow for it. It was right in front of me, and I thought the referee's whipping a red straight out, but no, I think Calvin got away with one there, I think. But
yeah, no, I think so too.
But it was frustrating, I would say, first half. We all kind of, you heard the reaction at half time.
I just don't like, John, like, I'm not going to lie to you, right? See that half time at Airdrie? I booed. Right, because that's
I think that's acceptable.
Fact, mate, I think I was one of the ones, and I hate to say it, I think I booed them back on at Airdrie. Do you know what I mean? We were that bad in that first half. But Saturday was not the day for booing at halftime, because it's not as if like we were utter chronic in the full first half. We were the better team by far for the first 20, 25 minutes. Then they got... See, when they had the ball, I actually think they did all right. Like, I think they'll do okay this year. They're certainly, like John McGlynn mentioned sometime last week, that Annan and Stirling Albion will be better than Clyde and Peterhead. And on the basis of Saturday, I think they will be better than Peterhead.
Sit in and hit you on the break, that's what their game plan was. And it was what almost.
It did. Yeah.
It almost worked. I mean, like you say, that they had a big chance there in that first half. Probably the best chance of the half, in fact. But then we come out the second half and we looked better, a hell of a lot better. We got off to a decent start as well. Shite goal specialist, Ross McKeever, at it again. Great ball in from Brad Spencer on the left-hand side. And I don't think McKeever knew anything. I think he just put his head on it and it's just bopped off his head. I don't think he knew what he was doing with that.
It looked like he was like properly flicking. I think he was trying to just flick it back, like so that somebody might get their head on it at the back post or something like that.
And it's ended up in the back of the net. So, but I mean, again, I'll say it again. Ross McKeever, shite goal specialist. Keep them coming, big man, because we'll take hell of those.
He's my favourite player so far. Genuinely.
Yeah, really? Wow.
Yeah, and I know Aggieman's been good and Spencer's been good and Lee Finn Yates has been great as well so far in every game. But actually, see if he can do that every game, he will score us a barrel load of goals this year. So, has he got 4-5 games or is it 5-5?
It's 4-5.
Four and five so far.
Look at his record for Al. I think he only got 4 goals last season for them.
Yeah, but we'll create more, John, I think. And
our style, it suits him a bit better, you know. But long may the shite goals continue, Big Ross. I'll take it all day of the week. And then we had it was just after it. I mean, Callum Morrison. Now there was a big moaning, and I can see we were talking about it. The inverted wingers playing Morrison on that left hand side and playing Agyeman on the right. We saw what Agyeman did when he was on the left for Kelty last season when he played us at the stadium, and we knew that Morrison's preferred side is the right hand side. I think there's almost an argument to do what Presley used to do in that he kept, remember, he used to flick over the wingers and use that. Because I certainly getting frustrated in that first half with Morrison. But then suddenly he did what an inverted winger was meant to do, cut inside, and what a strike it was off his right peg.
I think I bemoaned him just before he hit that ball. I actually think I said this guy needs taken off, and I don't know whether it was maybe a sub imminent at that point as well, actually, so maybe even John McGlynn was thinking it. But what a strike, and as you say, it was the one thing I think that John McGlynn's probably been hoping that he was going to do time and time again, same with Fredo at the other side, cut inside, have a go, and absolute belter of a finish, an absolute belter. Brilliant celebration heading over towards the ultra section as well, getting lifted up by, I think it was Big Henderson as well, so it was great. Brilliant camaraderie between the players and the fans there as well, but yeah, beautiful strike from him again.
I mean, that certainly did his confidence the world good, because he looked like a different player after that goal. He had that good free kick in the first half as well, right enough, it just went wide. But we then got another big chance, good work from Cal on the left again, the ball went across the box, and it was just so close to going in. You know, Agyeman was there. Again, Agyeman is just an absolute maverick. You know, he goes past boys, but like, he seems to win so many of those battles and win those those 50-50 balls. He comes away with them a lot, you know, and you think it's more of a 70-30 ball when he's involved. But yeah, it's like he just hits, goes by boys, and you're like, why are you hitting it for there, mate? And like, there was a couple of occasions.
But one in six will go in, I reckon, for them.
Yeah,
he's, as you said, he's a maverick, mate. I think we're gonna be frustrated with him, like we were in the first half. Everything he did in the first half, nothing worked. And then second half, as you say, it was like a light. I don't know what the conversation with the team was at halftime, but they definitely came out a different team. Yeah. And Agyeman, as you said, was just a menace in that second half, wasn't he?
I was really impressed by the pressing in the second half as well. It led to a really, really good chance for Brad Spencer, who again just put it wide. But it was just a really high press, and we really pinned them back in. So, forced them up the pitch, so it was really, really good. I thought actually that Callum Morrison, it was a definite penalty just before they'd met. But I watched it back in the house, and I have to hold up my hands and say I don't think it was, actually.
You don't think it was? I still think it was a penalty.
I looked back and went, But I was like, God, here it is, starting again for season 23-24, Falkirk not getting penalties. But we didn't need it, you know. Couple of chances in the box, the ball falls to Aidan Nesbitt, and just a nice side foot. And it was good to see Aidan back in the team and coming off the bench. He's just got a great motor about him, Aidan. He puts himself up at the pitch, you know.
He does. It was a nice finish as well. Actually, see, when I watched that one back on the highlights, there's a moment where Agyeman, just before Nesbitt strikes, Agyeman goes for the ball and he kicks the back of the Annan player. And actually, if the ref had been in a different position, that might have been given as a foul.
Yeah.
However, thankfully, he wasn't. Nice finish for Nesbitt. And as you said, like, he's obviously a really, really popular guy in the changing room as well, because you saw almost every player, apart from, I think, the keeper, going up for him to congratulate him. He was all over it, celebrating with the fans as well, which is what you want to see. The only downside is this tash that he continues to...
He's still looking like a 1920s vaudevillain. Let someone just pin him down and take that tash off, man. I don't know what he's thinking. What's happening with that?
Do you not think if he took the bun out as well, like with the hair would floppy and the tash, it would like sun out? Like, do you remember what was that program on Channel 4 on a Friday night?
Euro trash.
He looks like some like naked cleaner that would be on.
I loved Eurotrash. I loved it when they did the voiceover for the translation, and it was some like Yorkshire man doing, "Oi, Aidan Nesbitt on Eurotrash, fantastic, brilliant. But he came off the bench. Callum Morrison looked raging that he came off the bench.
Yeah, didn't he? He was furious when he got
you
mean,
but he, I reckon he could. He thought he could get a couple more. But I did. I was out in Glasgow last night, right? I was getting the second last train home, and I was walking past him. That's Callum Morrison. He was really struggling with the ticket barrier, I have to say. He was trying to get his chips over the ticket barrier and then use his ticket. I thought, now's not the time to... The man's struggling with chips in the ticket barrier at Queen Street Station. Now is not the time to go and congratulate him on his strike this afternoon. Because he looked like he'd had a couple as well, do you know what I mean?
Fair play him. He may well have chinned you for various previous comments as well.
Well, there is a very... I was like, do you prefer this? What's in your chip, steak or chicken, Callum? But no. If you look like he was in... You know, but all in all, you know, I think I've got to put a special mention as well for Finn Yates. I thought he was excellent yesterday. I mean, I saw a comment from Elsa, who's one of our listeners, saying that he could go on to do that kind of Luke Lay when we converted Luke Lay into being a left back. You know, we still could do a right back, because I think Finn, when he goes into midfield, gives a lot of energy and a lot of buzz about that midfield as well. But in the meantime, he's taking that position and he's making it his own. So keep going, wee Finn. He was excellent yesterday.
I actually thought, I don't know who got man of the match. Do you remember who got man of the match?
It was Tam Lang.
Was it?
Tam Lang.
No, he wasn't a bad player, so I wouldn't have picked him out as being man of the match. But I thought Yeats could have got man of the match yesterday. Again, he was very consistent at fullback when he was on. And it's not just the getting up and down the line. Like, he's actually quite a good defender. And yeah. I think he takes... From what we saw of him last year in midfield, he didn't shirk a challenge. He always put his kind of body on the line. Yep. He's doing that at right back. But I do think we are seeing a far better footballer for Falkirk when he's in the middle of the park. So I hope there is some sort of money created or whatever between now and the end of the window for a loan deal or whoever we can get in, just so that we can actually get him in midfield. Because I think he would be, I think he'll be even better in midfield.
Who would you take? I mean, I guess a big criticism, and this is a criticism, is that we're playing those two. Don't say, we talked about it last week, Hendo and Brad Spencer in midfield. Mm. But Brad Spencer's more box to box, isn't he? Uh-huh. I'll tell you what, him and Tam Lang have been brilliant additions to the squad. Tam Lang is just solid. He's absolutely, you know, we'll talk about it in a bit because we've got early predictions for play of the season already. But him and Brad Spencer, great additions. Brad Spencer puts himself about, always pressing, winning balls, you know, gets his head up. Great delivery from set pieces as well. So, I've been really, really impressed by those two. So I don't know, you know, you've got McGinty come back into that side. Oliver, I think, is going to be a bit part player this season.
I think he'll be on the bench more often. Well, in our opinion, and probably the bulk of the fans think he's going to be on the bench most of the season. Will John McGlynn think he's a...
But we know his work rate. And we see Gary Oliver's work rate and what he does. But the problem with Gary Oliver is that he's worked so hard for the rest of the team that isn't selfish enough to get him into the positions where he really should be, you know?
Yeah.
We've seen that so many times last season. But yeah, all in all, I thought Cal Moore wasn't great yesterday. He came back into side after Peter. I didn't think he was brilliant yesterday. He was very quiet, I think, in terms of his play.
Yeah, I thought he did okay, but I think that Nesbitt might get his spot next Saturday up at Cove, which I'm already looking forward to be honest. I've just got a funny feeling, and I can see this at this stage on a Sunday night. It's not born through the fact that we've had a few pints on an away day. Like, and I'm saying this at 9 o'clock next Saturday morning. I genuinely think we'll go up there and put a brilliant performance in, and I think we'll come back down the road with the 3 points as well. And can you imagine a 6-point gap over Cove already? That would be good.
We'll get into that game just in a bit. Yeah. Right, okay then, Ross, let's hear from the manager, shall we? Mr. John McGlynn.
Mm-hmm. John, you've managed to break the opening day hoodoo and now sitting top of the league on goal difference.
You mentioned that on Friday, Adam. You had to panic in there, you know.
Well, it's turned out okay in the end.
It's turned out okay in the end, yeah. It was a bigger challenge for us to make sure that we're going to break that, whatever it be, hoodoo, if you want to call it hoodoo. Yeah, delighted that we've done that. It took us to be patient, you know, and have set up, quite rightly, you know, understandable that they're going to make it really difficult for us, sit deep and deny space, deny any gaps in them to try and break them, you know, break through them. And we had to be patient. But it was a game that we dominated from start to finish, loads of the ball. And we got our rewards, you know, fairly early in the second half. Really, really good ball in by Brad Spencer and Big Ross with a header. So Ross's return was fantastic. Now, you know, that's four goals in five games. And if you add the two last pre-season friendlies that we had, he got a couple of goals in that as well. So, you know, really, really good return. Delighted with the three goals. Callum Morrison's goal is an exceptional strike, great strike. But that's what we look for, Callum, from that position, coming in on his strong right foot and sticking it in that faraway corner. So delighted with that. Gave us that cushion. And then Aidan Nisbet popping up. So again, the pressure that we put on them was going to tell, you know. And it was a little bit more of a scruffy goal, but it was all due to our intensity and our pressure we put on them. And then he gets a little bit break of the ball. I thought it might have been a penalty if the ball didn't go in. So delighted with the clean sheet, other than one opportunity for them in the first half when Sam Long's done really well. You know, it's a 1v1. He's came out, sped himself, and he's managed to prevent, you know, a goal. So again, delighted with that. He came out for one header out of his box in the second half, and that was about as much as he had to do. So delighted with the whole team, the defensive setup. It's a good start. We don't want to get carried away, you know. We've got to be realistic. It's one game, a long, hell of a long way to go. So we don't want to get too high, and evenly, you know, when things didn't go for us, we didn't want to get too low either.
So there you go, John McGlynn, as rightly says, hoodoo off the back, because I don't think it's since 2013 that we've won a league opener.
I think it's even further back, mate. Further I think it was. Was it not the? I think someone had said to me it was the Gretna game. Remember when we played?
Motherwell.
Michael Higdon, when he scored that day, and Roman
Russell scored as well that day.
Russell scored on that. Pedro, I think, might have got a goal as well.
Yeah, so, he did.
Oh, I remember for Roman Wilner's debut, I'm sure he got on for a few minutes, and then don't think we saw much more of him thereafter. But so I think it's as far back as that, to be honest, which is a bit mental that it's went that far back. But good to. Yeah, I didn't disagree with anything he said. I thought he's called it out right. Just going back to the music at the start there, it sounded like something Stranger Things. That's so, but yeah, it was. No, I agreed with everything he said this week. I don't think he said anything controversial. He's right. They set up to nullify us and frustrate us, and at times I think we kind of fell into that, as you said at the earlier in the podcast. But I didn't disagree with him.
Yeah, the Penguin is back as well. We're taking Falkirk TV this year has got it from the shoulders up, so you can't really see the flappy hands going. He looked a happy man. John McGlynn there, didn't he? He got a wee smile on his face. I like to see John when he smiles, you know. Smiles very rarely, you know, so it's nice to see a wee glint in his eye and a wee smile.
Well, that's, and I noticed that, did you notice that in his pre-match interview as well? Hence why I put up on Twitter the two scores of him. It's Isa. Oh, with sandwiches. And but he did, he had a proper cheese and grin at some point on the pre-match program that they put out, and
maybe just prefer Sean to Lewis.
Well, Lewis will be watching this, and I'm sure you'll text tomorrow night.
We're only joking, Luby. I'm sure John loves you just as much as he loves Sean. Obviously happy with that. What I've got to do is carry that second half performance into the first half next week. So we'll see.
Yeah, it'll be helpful. Actually, I forgot McKeever had scored in the preseason as well. So that's him on six goals already Falkirk Football Club. And is it too late?
All of them have been shaky.
Well, it doesn't matter, though. It doesn't matter. They all count. But can we? We'll need to check with the club. Can we move our Gold Flash sponsorship from Jordan Allen?
But then that'll taint it, and then we'll move. Well, then Jordan Allen will start scoring loads of goals. Listen, if it makes them score goals, I'll be delighted with that. But yeah, I think Jordan Allen should be back, and he was suspended this week. Yeah. Obviously,
see, talking to Jordan Allen, see that one on one that Ross McKeever had.
He would have finished that.
Would have finished that off. I 100% guarantee.
Absolutely. Interesting to see if he. I think he's back next week. I think it was only one game suspension, so we'll see for that. Let's get your views on the game. Graham says first half we were clueless, second half better, but Annan are a dreadful team. We need to be quicker on the passing front and more clinical in front of goal. Next week will give us a better idea of the season ahead. Absolutely.
And it will, yeah. Bill says, with so many teams parking the bus, it is going to be difficult and sometimes frustrating. Better players than our struggle to break that down, so we as fans must be patient as well. I do feel we have a bit more variety in our front players, which should help break teams down. I actually agree with that. I think there's menaces up there. I think that's the best phrase that I've got. We've got a few menaces there that can definitely do damage, whereas last year, realistically, if Morrison was off his game, mm-hmm. it wasn't happening. And same to an extent, Kennedy towards the end of the season, if Kennedy wasn't at it, it wasn't happening. Whereas you actually feel like we've got menaces in there this year.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is you've got Calvin Miller there as an option to go out to the left as well. You can put Agyeman out to the left, you can put Morrison out to the right. Nesbitt, I don't think, plays brilliantly when he gets put out there, but there are a couple of options in that area. And then when you've got McKeever and you've got Jordan Allen sitting the bench, I would love at some point to see them both up top together with the big man wee man combination, but maybe that's just the old school in me. Stuart says Donaldson plays better with the armband, talked about that earlier on. Need the support to be patient, especially at home. Good win and a clean sheet
indeed. Graham says, amazed to hear that our season isn't over anymore. I assume a little bit of sarcasm in there. Was led to believe that at 0-0 at half time on opening weekend was the nail in our coffin. Delighted with the 3 points, never in doubt. Just wish half the fans weren't so quick to write off the season after the first 45 of the year.
Yeah.
I think we can hold, I can hold my hand up there because I tweeted at half time saying this is absolutely brutal. And then ate my words.
Yeah. That's it. Mark says, why were we so ponderous in possession second half? McGlynn got out of jail. Playing a centre midfielder against the whipping boys of the league is criminal. Teams should be scared to play us, period.
Mark American, is he?
I think it's just McGlynn's never going to stray away from that centre midfielder, though.
I don't think so, no. To be fair, in the modern game,
every single, whether you be Liverpool, whether you be Man City, everybody has that pivot player, you know, or the in the pivot role, as they call it. So, yeah. I don't think, you know, playing that home midfield at home is a bad thing, because it's the way the modern game goes now, and the way everybody sets up is to have that, you know, guy in front of defence to clean up. I mean, all the big teams have it, you know, and they go for silly money now, these kind of players.
It's true. No, you're right. Barry says, first half was poor, slowing it down too much when the opportunity was there to play through the lines. Second half, much improved, tempo increased, and more opportunities created and ultimately taken.
Yep, Jamie says, no real problems. However, first half lacked some confidence from the team, as if they were scared of making a mistake. Different team second half, and it showed. Hope this lifts them in a massive confident booster ahead of Saturday.
Indeed. David says, surely we can't let Finn Yates and his Ronaldinho drag back through the legs of the defender go unappreciated. Absolute class from a player that's just getting better and better and not even in his natural position. Man of the match for me. And I would 100% agree with David.
Well, we'll get into the Falkirk Daft rate, and I think we know where it's going this week. Scott sums us up saying, and in part the busting frustrated us, first half, much better second half. We'll take this all season. Come on, E. Burns. From Scott. So on to the Falkirk Daft Rate and Falkirk Dafty of the week then. Ross Benitez.
Yeah, it is for me. I thought he was Mr. Consistent across both roles that he played. The wee Ronaldinho drag back, as David says, was a nice wee moment. And he got a good cross in after it as well. So he wasn't just kind of showboating. But no, I think Finn Yates deserved man of the match. What about you? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think I'm going to. I was really, again, big Tammy Lang, love that guy. Really impressed by him again. I thought Spencer is what we've been crying out for that in the midfield. So, but I think Wee Finn was excellent yesterday. He just plays for that jersey every single week, doesn't he? Do you know what we should do? And we'll do it like you remember the Falkirk Herald used to have the stars at the end of the week and how many matches they got. Let's put down Finn for the first one. We'll see who's top, who gets the Falkirk Daft player of the year at the end of the year. So Finn Yeats is down for the first match of the season. And we've got a Falkirk Dafty.
Ooh. I'm kind of struggling actually. I know we weren't great in the part of the first half, but even then, I can't really pick out an individual player. I'm going to say the people who booed at halftime. I just thought that was a wee bit uncalled for at halftime. So I'm going to go the booers. What are you thinking?
I'm going to give it to Calvin Miller. I thought that I thought he was very quiet, and I thought he could have been. I thought he was going to get sent off for that challenge. I thought he got away with one. So I'm going to give it to Calvin Miller just on the basis that if we went down to 10 men, we could have been really struggling. So I think he got away with one. So yeah, Calvin Miller.
Do you think that might have impacted the rest of his game, John?
Maybe.
Like in the back of the mind thinking, oh crap, I could have been off here and I'm on a booking now. So like maybe
you know
what I mean? Like maybe put him off the rest of the year. I don't know. I don't want to make excuses for the guy, but
no.
I wonder if that, because I've liked him when I've seen him so
far.
Yeah,
I know. Listen, I thought he was CP against Peterhead. He changed the game in my opinion last week. I just think I think you might be right that Aidan Nesbitt will go back into that 10 role next week.
Or Oliver, if he comes back in.
But you never know. You never know. But yeah, no, I think just for that challenge, I think alone, I'm just going to give him the Falkirk Dafty of the week for that. If you want to be on as a guest pundit, I said it before, you can message me or Ross. You can either John at falkirkdaft.co.uk, Ross at falkirkdaft.co.uk. They'll both get to us and we'll hope you on for next week's show.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
Right, it's time for the big question. We stuck this up on Twitter earlier on. If you don't follow us on Twitter, do that at Falkirk Daft. Get involved in the show. We'd love to have you on board there. We got your two early predictions for Player of the Year. Having seen one game and pre-season in the League Cup campaign, who is going to be Player of the Year, Ross Wayne?
There's a few there now, John. I genuinely can't commit just now because Agyeman's looked...
Fence, Ross. You've got to commit.
If I have to, I am going to take a punt just now on McKeever. That's my player of the year just now, McKeever. If he continues to do what he's been doing, he will score 20 to 30 goals for us, which is phenomenal. If he continues in this current vein of form.
Right. Okay.
Where are you going?
I'm going to go for Tam Lang. Absolutely.
You're hard for Tam Lang, aren't you?
I think he's... I love a centre. You know I love a centre-half. Big call. I love big call as well.
I know. But listen, see if you took that background off. I'm sure there's a Tam Lang poster in you.
I think Tam Lang's going to be a real... I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at some point. I would suspect if McGinn's not there, if Cole's not there, Tam Lang will be wearing the captain's armband as well.
Yeah, it's a good shout too. Mm-hmm.
I think so. I think he'll be... Brad Spencer, don't think he'll be far behind him either.
Yeah.
I was talking about this yesterday, though, like... You look at some of the names. Whatever happened to Johns and Ians and Stuarts and people like that? Now you've got two Brads playing for Falkirk, a Calvin. Jesus, you know what I mean?
You're right.
Fashion names back. Is what I'm saying.
There's no Franks on the go, is there? Either
there's no Franks anymore. You know what I mean? You know all these Calvins and Brads. You know it's damn.
Right, and if there was a Sammy, it would probably have an eye.
That's true. We've got Sam, got the goalkeeper, Sam Long. So, there we go. But let's get your predictions for the player of the season. Elsa, I knew I'd seen this. She thinks young Leeds will do a lay and make a new position of his own this season. Goalie Long has started really well too. He had an iffy moment at Partick Thistle. That was the only thing I would say. There was a blot in his copybook. But yeah, no, he's been... Loved the sweeper-keeper moments against Annan yesterday.
Mm. What was your Sam Long pun that you came away with yesterday? I'm sure it was you.
Oh, it wasn't me. I don't know.
Was it not you? Did someone not say, oh, that was you, because you said when Sam Long plays it long, does he still play it short or something like that? No. I don't know. I've maybe just made that bad.
Someone gave
some horrific pun yesterday, anyway.
Wasn't me. I'm warning you. Definitely wasn't me. Stephen's gone for Spencer, Brad Spencer.
Yep, Kieran has gone for Yeats again. Yeats are a couple.
People are sitting on the fence saying either or. Come on, put your balls in the vice here. Hisington has gone for Alfie Agumon or Ross McKeever.
Yeah. Tom, likewise, Agumon, strong and direct, loves to take players on, he says.
McKeever or Spencer says Andre.
Mm.
There's another name, Andre. Andre. You don't get many Andres. Yeah,
exactly. No, you don't. That's maybe one of the Colombian listeners that you're thinking of. Colin says Tom Lang is a good shout. I think there's something about McKeever, though, as well.
And I don't know if this is true, but Joe is going for Gary Oliver. I don't know. We'll wait and see about that one.
Is that Joe Oliver, as in Gary Oliver's wife or something?
It might be. Graham has got us just on Twitter there. He says, between Spencer, Lang and McKeever, based on the Viaplay Cup and Anna game, McKeever has 5 goals in 6 competitive games now, I think. No, I think it's 4 and 5. So, in course, be our first 20-goal striker for a long time in League One. He's predicted that 36 goals from McKeever. We'll take that, Graham. Bob said Spencer, Lang or Yeats. Think Agumon will do well, but frustrate for periods as well. We'll wait and see where we are at the end of the season. But we've recorded this now, so I'm saying Tam Lang, and you are saying Ross McKeever.
I'm gonna go McKeever, because I don't know who just said it there. Was it Graham? I think he'll get between 20 and 30 goals this season.
Get that bookmarked right now. 20 and 30 goals for Ross McKeever. Okay, we've recorded that. It's down now. We'll see where we are come the end of
it. I also said Dan Turner was going to be a player, though, so I don't know if we should listen to you.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
Okay then, Ross, let's look forward to Cove. You're heading up there. What time are you getting the train on Saturday?
It's early, yeah. I think we're on the 10 to 8 train from Larbert.
Wow.
We're gonna meet up in Stirling, meet the Mr. Harkins from off his train, and then we're on the back of 9 train up to Aberdeen. It'll be a wee early start, but it'll be a good day, hopefully. A few tins for the train.
When you get to crack open the first tin, once you get to Stirling, there's that wee bacon roll place across the road for the station, which is brilliant.
No, I think I hate to say it because I don't like the guy who owns the place, but I think we're going to nip over to Witherspoon's just for ease and timeliness, because we've not got a huge amount of time between the trains. So I think we're going to nip up there. But in terms of first open, it could be whatever's just that 100 yards past Larbert.
You've only got to move 5 minutes between Larbert and Stirling, you know.
Sounds like a challenge, John, to me. That'll be good. There's a few of us going up, and we're meeting up with a couple of Aberdeen-based Bairns fans as well. The last time we went up to Cove, there's a pub just 10-minute walk away from the ground. The ground's shit, though. Like, it's stuck in the middle of an industrial estate, and it's weird. I think they have put some like mini stands up behind each goal now, I think, but it's a bit of a crap ground, to be honest. But as long as we come away with the 3 points, that's all that matters.
Well, they were beaten off of Hamilton 1-0 there at the weekend, and like you said earlier on, if we get a win up there, suddenly we're 6 points clear of one of what we predicted be one of the big challengers, and you know, if that would be huge. That would be huge, and certainly from their perspective, you know, that's like 6 points off the pace already. I think it'll be really, really interesting. Obviously, that game on Saturday, Hamilton versus Cove, was a big game for us. I would have very happily if it had been a draw there. And obviously, then Saturday as well, Kingdon South getting beaten off Alloa at Palmerston as well.
Yeah, that was a bit of a shock. I didn't expect that. The other thing with the Hamilton Cove game was that Cove's new captain, he got straight red. And allegedly, and I've not seen it, so I don't know if this is true, but I read on social media that it was he did it because he was giving the Vickies to the Ackies fans. Surely that's not a straight red, but I'll take it if that's
him. I wouldn't have thought that's a straight red either.
I thought so either, but I'd read that on social media, and it could be nonsense. Him being suspended is a good thing. I'll take anything.
I don't know if it is. Paul McGowan's murder. These days,
I know, but at this level, he might have been okay. But if he's suspended, I'm quite happy with that. And I think did I also read? Or it might have been Pine Bovril that Meganson and Fivey were both missing yesterday as well because they're injured. So Hopefully, they're still injured by next Saturday as well. That would be good.
Yeah, I mean, you look through the spine of that Cove side, they've got a lot of experience there. When you look at Ian Vickers, like you mentioned, 5A and Meganson are there, Josh Kerr, Mark Reynolds, Jason Naismith, and we obviously know Mr. Burrow will be very much up for that game as well.
Yeah, so...
Which worries players... me. We always know ex-players, and Romano will have something to prove against us.
Yeah, I think the defenders will know how to manage Rumour as well. He was all right. Remember, he was all right for us, but didn't he? He wasn't great at the same time as well. He will have a chip on his shoulder if it try like a better score, I'm sure. But see, you mentioned Mark Reynolds there though. John, he's just getting slower and slower and slower. And yeah, we've got a lot of pace up front now. I think defensively we will give them a doing on Saturday. And I know you're going to ask me for a prediction, but I would not be surprised if we go up there and score another 3 goals like we did on Saturday.
Wow. I mean, it's going to be a test. And certainly, obviously, Mr. Hartley in the dugout for Cove as well. That little added incentive, I'm sure the crowd will applaud him. All the Falkirk supporters will applaud him as he comes out into the dugout.
Well, no. Yeah, there will be some hand gestures, I'm sure. I don't think it'll be clapping. But
it'll be a Paul McGowan-style hand gesture.
Yeah. I wonder if Cove will move the dugouts again. So the last time we were in the same league as Cove, the traditional home dugout is actually at the away end. So I wonder if they'll switch like they did that time so that Hartley wasn't surrounded by loads of Bairns fans behind the dugout.
So?
Well, if they did it for that time, I don't think the fans have forgotten anything less about Paul Hartley, so if anything, it'll probably make it worse.
Yeah.
So let's see how we go.
Yeah, no, but I mean, certainly, if we could put down a marker, obviously, what was great yesterday, and I said, let's just keep going, let's put down a marker, get to the top of the league, which we are, and let's just keep going from there, and let's not even think about second, third, let's put the marker down, and that's where we stay for the rest of the season. That's what needs to happen. So fingers crossed and go up there, get 3 points. So you're reckoning a Falkirk win?
I'm going to say a Falkirk win. I think we may concede. So if you're asking me for a prediction right here, right now, I'm going to say 3-1 Falkirk.
Woof, there we are. I'm going to take a draw. Down the road to a draw. I think this season, get your home games won, get up to places like Cove, Montrose, get a draw, sneak a win, get back down the road and win all your games at the stadium and not win us the league. That's how I would like the season to go.
Yeah.
None of these silly fucking slip-ups like we had last season.
Oh, no, we can't afford that. This season, we can't be affording to have too many slip-ups. Look at Dunfermline last year. What did they lose? One game and they drew 4 or 5 or something like that. So that is kind of what we need to do. That is exactly what we need to do. Win almost every game bar the old game where you may drop a point or two because it's a tricky away game, just like you've said. But more often than not, we need to be hitting the three points.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So enjoy your trip to Cove, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I'm sure it'll be, it's dependent on the result, but it'll be a good day, I'm sure, up until 3 o'clock anyway. But hopefully it's a good old day. And I think there'll be a big Falkirk crowd. I think there'll be a big crowd heading up. I genuinely do, especially after the win there on Saturday. Everybody's up for it. Everybody's buoyed. And I think there'll be a big crowd heading up as well.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
And that is it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much for listening or watching. Remember, you can get us on YouTube. Hit that like button. Subscribe, everyone. I think the term is now smash the like button, Ross. So
is it? There
yep,
we go.
Right. Smash that like button, everyone. Like and subscribe, comment below. And remember, you can rate or review the podcast as well on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get yours. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram. We've got to say thanks again to Haldane Construction, sponsors of this fine show. Get them at haldaneconstruction.co.uk. Quality and loyalty is at the heart of their business. If you're looking to get stuff done, like extensions and all that, and maybe even a swimming pool, who knows? Speak to Peter and the guys over there. You can get merch. The 20% offer is now finished. In fact, if you've got this on Monday, actually, you might be able to sneak in and get some Falkirk Daft merch. Merch at falkirkdaft.co.uk. You'll get all the stuff up there, from dog bandanas to baby grows to stickers to whatever you want. You can get it all in our shop there. And if you want to join the discussion, we've got plenty of bearings on our Discord channel. All the details are below. If you want to get involved in our wee forum, if you're bored of pie and ball and all that sort of stuff, get involved in the chat. It's a lovely little community in there. I've not actually been on to see what the reaction was like to yesterday's game, but they're always very positive in that group, I have to say.
No, I've not been on since last night either, so I'll do that tonight. See what the usual suspects are saying to it. But listen, there was a lot of good social media response to yesterday. Probably had I went online at halftime, I can imagine it probably wasn't. But certainly after the game, loads of good comments. That's what we need, John. We need everybody on the same page. Look at the crowd yesterday as well, 4,056. I think it was like 23 shy of having 4,000 Bairns fans, which is just absolutely fantastic. We need that. We need a full Kevin McAllister stand. We need as many people in the main stand as we can as well, and see what it takes us.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, so on to Cove next. 3 points, back down the road. And like we were saying, we've not got another home game till the middle of September. We've got this big, long run, so we've got... I don't know when Stirling Albion's going to be rescheduled for.
Yeah,
we might have
the
Challenge Cups on a Saturday as well, when Scotland game's on as well, so... we might have a Challenge Cup match at home, but until then, it's not till September, because you've got Alloa, we've got Cove, then we've got Alloa, then we've got Spare Week, then we've got...
No, the Spare Week is... So Edinburgh away, then the Spare Week.
Then Spare Week,
yeah.
So, aye, lots and lots of away games to come, but yes, we will be here every step of the way. So thank you once again for listening to Falkirk Daft. We'll get up the road, and until next time...
Expect the unexpected, buddy.